Good morning. Welcome to Love Babs Love Talk. I'm Babs Rose Ivy. And this morning I'm talking and I'm going to have a good conversation about what's happening in Haiti. And I've got two folks. One is a Yale World Fellow, Ralph Francois. That's it, right?
Yeah, Francois.
Ralph Francois is a disaster risk resilience management and climate resilience specialist with 10 years of experience working with communities in Haiti. So I'm excited to talk to you.
I'm also excited to talk to you.
And then, Luino.
Luino, yeah.
Yes.
You're right.
Robilar.
Yes.
Is visiting. He gave a talk yesterday. He is a community leader and organizer who was raised in Cité Soleil.
Cité Soleil.
Okay. And he's a champion in social entrepreneurship in slums. He spoke yesterday at the school, Yale School of Management, about sustainable funding of social enterprises.
Yeah.
How to make nonprofits act better with their money.
Yeah.
I would suspect. And you are the co-founder of Convit Bibliotech Site Soli Initiative.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So I want to have a conversation about Haiti. Because so much of what Americans and other people hear about Haiti is nothing but disastrous. Wait, let me backtrack. This is what people have underneath them when they talk about Haiti. Haiti was the first country that declared its independence, right, from enslavement.
The first black.
But people like to say, Haitians made a pact with the devil, so therefore Haiti is cursed.
Hmm.
Have you heard that foolishness?
Yeah.
And the older I get and the more I hear it, I'm always baffled by those myths about Haiti. So I'm glad you're here today to talk about what is happening in Haiti. What should we really be focusing on? And what kind of support and help is needed? Is that fair? That sound good?
Yeah, that sounds very good.
Okay. So let's start with you, Mr. World Yale Fellow, Yale World Fellow.
Okay. And this is an interesting question, and I really appreciate the opportunity that we have from different kind of perspective in Haiti to talk about Haiti. We're not going to say that we're going to talk about Haiti in a more positive way, because if we say it like that, it's like we have something that we hide
from
Haiti, and we promote, you know, positive images of Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti is Haiti. Haiti is contrast. Haiti is the good, the
bad. Not like a lot of places in the world.
Yes.
Right? Like America, like places in Africa, like...
Yeah, I'd like to say like the earth.
Like the earth.
You know what? It's interesting because if we like drag to the climate change, you know, problem, people say, oh, the earth is fragile.
Mm-hmm.
The earth has always been fragile.
Yes.
It's a Goldilocks planet, which means that disasters occurred and disaster will occur.
Yes.
You know,
that's very good.
California, what happened in California, backfire. People could not understand that the earth that we're living in together is fragile.
Yes.
And it will be more fragile. We are made of stars.
Yes.
We are 0.03%, which means that we are not the ruler of the universe. We are the exception.
Mm-hmm.
If we take like the dark matter and, you know, the dark energy and the dark matter, they represent more than 86%.
Mm-hmm.
The stars, 4%, which means we made 0.03. And what is interesting is like the four elements which compose the whole universe, oxygen, hydrogen, they represent more than 96% of our body weight.
Yes.
Which means that if we take it like that from a perspective, we can go back and understand Haiti from a broader point of view.
Okay.
It's not that the planet is healthy, the planet is wonderful, and Haiti's crashed. You know? So what is happening? We are the first black republic. Mm-hmm. We said and we fought for that. But at that time, Haiti was an exception. And an African, like most African republic, till 80s, 1830, you are not allowed to speak about Haiti.
Mm.
Because it was not normal. Now, to exist as a nation, because when people talk about slavery, slavery has always been legal at some point.
Yes.
Because, you know, every slave, they have their place, they have their seats. And even when we have the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I mean, the slaves could not be considered as being human because they were, like, according to black code, they were object attached to the colony.
Yes.
Which means that to exist as a nation, we would have to break the system that people consider as being illegal.
Yes.
And we paid the price for more than 50 years. Because even the United States, they recognize our, they acknowledge our independence in 1862. We got our independence in 1804,
mm-hmm.
which means that we are not allowed to do commerce, to do transaction with other countries. We don't really know if we are a country. So who learned Haitian people to do politics? No one. Because we have to learn by practice. And we see, I come to Yale. I'm so grateful when I see that Yale has been built in 1701.
Mm-hmm.
1701. Hmm. Remember, Haiti has its independence in 1804. And the first, you know, the 12 first universities in Latin America, I mean, the 22 Latin America universities, and their process of colonization, they already have 13 universities.
Mm-hmm.
But the slaves are not allowed to get education.
Right.
And when we received the first debt as a money to develop the country, they said to us when they loaned us the money, you cannot invest the money in education. You're going to invest the money in textile industries because you got to reimburse fully back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an excuse, but it's also to make you understand what makes us specific.
And that's a good point to make because, you know, if you don't know the history, if you don't understand how we got here, and I mean we collect, you know, all of us, then you won't understand what the struggle is and what they're up against.
Let me just quickly say something like compared to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
If United States, like people, American citizens, they don't understand their history, some decisions that they have to, you know, make, actually, they mm-hmm. have to go back to their foundations. What Alexander Hamilton said, why Alexander Hamilton and the founding papers put the Pericles example as the founder of democracy. He was clear about it. To what price will be that justice?
Mm-hmm.
Don't go too fast, but don't go too slow
mm-hmm.
to make a structure work.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that kind of stability, that kind of structure that you have that has been solid today is because you understand what has been, you know, the core foundation of our system.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti is wonderful. Haiti has also some pockets of poverty,
mm-hmm.
but there's a season poverty. But we're doing great. Actually, we can say in Haiti, we have 70% people that are less than 25 years old.
Wow.
We are more connected.
So you're very, very young.
Young.
Young population. Young.
Yeah. This is hope. And not only young population, most of them actually in our generation, the generation of 80s,
mm-hmm.
we are really well educated. We are more well connected to the diaspora, actually, I mean, living outside of Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And how it is possible is because during the regime, to give a bit of context, Haiti has like had this dictatorship
mm-hmm.
for around 29 years. So what happened at that time is like most people fled Haiti. So the people that came here as Haitian, they have their children growing up, they say, you don't go back to the country.
Mm-hmm.
So to make sure that you cannot go back to the country, what we're going to do, you're not going to speak Creole. But what happened, we have the reverse of that. Because young diaspora, they said, we don't want to give money. We don't want to send money mm-hmm. to develop Haiti. We want to participate in the process. We have the biggest nutshell of diaspora, actually. And that's why my initiative, Louis No Redistinative, are really important. Actually, I can tell you, we just created the first pool of girls who code in the whole Caribbean and the low-income communities.
Okay.
People that have
no knowledge, like in terms of technology education. We introduced them to computational thinking. Mm-hmm. There are girls in the low-income community. We brought the 5 tech tools in terms of education in the world to them. And in 6 months, some of them became superstars in the country. So we have smart citizens.
Yes.
But the problem, what lacks, if how could we share equal opportunities, give equal opportunities to others,
mm-hmm.
that we can build smart citizens from the bottom up. The more smart citizens we have, the smartest the community will be.
Yes.
And the smartest the community will be, the smartest the challenges will be, attacked in a very, angle and innovative way.
Yes.
We have hope, and we are here today not to promote the best image of Haiti, because Haiti is already beautiful, but to explain the contrast and explain why we still have hope to mm-hmm. do today.
Mm-hmm. So, Luano.
Robbie. So I've been learning a lot from Ralph and about the global perspective in Haiti. But me, I'm going to talk about Haiti. So Haiti is a very small country in the Caribbean, about 27,750
mm-hmm. square kilometers.
Okay. So a very small country. And we have about 11 million, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
11 million people.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that many people.
Yeah.
And also we share the island with the Dominican Republic. We are the third eighth of the island. Mm-hmm. And the Dominican has the fifth eighth of the island.
How many people we have in the diaspora?
Around 1 million.
Around 1 million Haitians live in the diaspora. And we speak, our native language is Creole, and we speak French. And a lot of Haitians speak English too.
Mm-hmm.
So Haiti is a very rich country. Sometimes we even asking us why Haiti is so poor.
Mm-hmm.
Why? The questions. But when you are listening to Ralph about the global perspective where Haiti coming from, so you can kind of understand all the challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an excuse, but that's why we as the new generation, the generation in the 80s, so we are trying to change the narrative of Haiti,
mm-hmm.
how people used to understand Haiti, and how we as Haitian used to understand and see Haiti. So I'm coming from in Cité Soleil, which is the biggest slum, the marginalized place in Haiti, all over the Caribbean. So there is about 500,000 people live over there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is lack of opportunities and infrastructure. It's really hard to, there's no like good school, there's mm-hmm. no university, there's no bank,
mm-hmm.
There's no job for young people. So that's really built something bigger than what we hope to see.
Okay.
And right now what we're trying to do, we used to sit and see, okay, where our government going with our Haiti, or where the international, because Haiti is, let's say, about 70% depend on the international money.
Mm-hmm.
And now we say, okay, how we can use our own asset, how we can build mm-hmm. our own asset to really build a Haiti where our people can live. So right now in my community, we are building a community library where we don't ask the government or the international for money, but we are raising money in the population
mm-hmm.
where the population themselves building the biggest community or public library in Haiti. So for us, it's not build a library. It's not that. It's more than that. It's the first time we are building something for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time that we see, okay, when we put our hands together, what we can achieve together.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. And Haiti, we are not alone in the planet, as Ralph went to say. So we are surrounded with a lot of countries, and we think that we can't really develop Haiti by our own. That's why today we are so happy to have Ralph here in New Haven at Yale University,
mm-hmm.
taking, skills, knowledge, going back to Haiti to share with our people. We need other people, but in the same time, it's not the way that they are doing it since 200 years.
Yeah.
Where they are doing what they want in Haiti. For them, like, there's nothing in Haiti. There's no one can, they can take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we are trying to change that, to say, friends, welcome, but this is our country.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to rebuild our country. And we have a new generation, like Ralph went to say, so very young population. And when you mean young, that means hope.
Mm-hmm.
That means love.
So that means when you have a very young population and the energy is there to create opportunities.
It's crazy.
But at the same time, I would imagine that they want to leave so that they can go seek education and opportunity out of Haiti.
Yeah.
Right? And you kind of want them
it's
to come back to Haiti, bring all that back to Haiti?
This is a very...
Because this is a challenging thing.
This is challenging, but this is a very interesting question. It gives us opportunity to share our view of the Haitian diaspora living here.
Mm-hmm.
What's important is not where you live. It doesn't matter. You're an American. You can decide to live wherever you want. This is, we have the Earth planet.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever you want to visit, visit. What's important is the exposure.
Mm-hmm.
The more you're exposed to the world, the more confused you will be. And the more confused you will be, the more you will learn.
Mm-hmm.
The less racist you will be.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will shock and you will be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you build relationship. What we say to the people is, what we measure is how well people stay connected to Haiti. Because this is what happened also. I mean, look at the United States. You started to find out, oh, I might be different from the other people, or we are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And something just happened. You realize what's your real identity.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that you can be American, but you're an African-American.
Oh, yeah.
You realize you can be American, but also you can be a Latino American. You can be an Asian American.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the possibility to put together the two aspects of your identity.
And so you are suggesting that Haitians take on that same tone.
It's wonderful.
You can be Haitian in Europe. You can be Haitian in Canada. You can be Haitian in America.
This is the spirit of our revolution.
Okay.
You know, when we said that universal law and everything, Dessalines, our founder, make it clear. This is a free country, a free land. If you have something, I remember there was some French when they received a lot of pressure from their government, from the structure. They wrote letter to Dessalines to come to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you come in the country, you become automatically Haitian if you help us fight. It's a free country when you're there, which means for the globalization and the sense that people could decide to live wherever they want to live. But based on your identity, how well you stay connected. I come to Yale today. I've met with many Haitian descent, and I co-teach a course called Sustainable Development, where we have to read a lot about Haiti. They wanted to come to see, to feel, because they felt this is where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that it is wonderful for a human being. What we need in the world is psychological safety.
Oh.
This is what we need. So when we talk,
yeah.
I don't like to talk about development. I talk about collective well-being.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent where you and me can live decently, and I accept to withdraw some of my freedom, and you accept to withdraw some of your freedom, and we make life possible for all.
For all.
And it will happen when we understand that more and more children are exposed. Let me tell you a story. Before I came here, in my community, I work with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low-income community of around 16,000 people, the seven girls. There was one girl, she's 9. She told me, you know what I want to see? I said, what? I'd like to see a live train, because she used to see it on the TV. You see, her dream is so tight. because she's not being exposed to the world.
Like, if but all if you want to see is a train.
If she came here, she saw a train.
She would see like a gazillion trains.
Yes. So the more you're exposed, the more your dreams will be bigger.
Yes.
And the
that's a good point.
And the more confident you will be.
Yes.
And now we have that with virtual reality, where you have that sense where you can live your dream while you're working on that dream.
Yeah.
So that's why I use virtual reality to educate them about climate change, make them understand how the universe, because if you understand how the universe works, not pretty well. And I mean, I have a theory. If you want to have, if you want to have a good politician, so when they're going to take power, send them to space for 3 months and they will watch the earth. They will see like all the rocks, you know, are waving. They say, oh my God, this is fragile.
Yeah.
They will understand that climate change is important.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a good point.
If we have an alien, we are so small in the universe, the alien might, I mean, go and not see us. We are so small, but we think that we are the higher elements. So the perspective that we need from people, from Haitian, from other people, is how well we can expose the young generation of Haitians to the opportunities of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if they decide to live in Europe, they decide to live in Africa, that's nice. Me, I mean, I dream about like spending time in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see, you know, in Africa, I see myself, it's like, brother, father, I also consider myself, I would be welcome, you know, to come to live in Africa. Why not?
Uh-huh.
But the thing is how well we stay connected to our identity and how well we don't make the country good for me, for Robbie. Haiti has a brain drain out of 84%, which means for every 100 people graduating in Haiti, 84 left the country.
Mm-hmm.
How could you build a country without smart citizens?
Yeah.
But that's not the problem. The smart citizens could be abroad, but it's how well the resources are there to create collectively the conditions that we need. And we are doing it with our generation, actually.
Do you feel like the government is strong enough to sort of hold these dreams, to press these dreams? Because this is that's a tall order.
Yeah, and this is an interesting point to see it when we talk about government. We have government, we have civil society. Civil society is important. Civil society, they're there to make pressure, you know, on the government and to make sure that we have good governance. And to apply good governance, we need truth, we need courage, we need accountability, and we need delivery.
Mm-hmm.
The truth to tell the truth to say what are your limitations, the courage to say what you can't do now, but how do you build it?
Mm-hmm.
It's about the challenge of communication.
Mm-hmm.
The delivery, because good governance is about delivery.
Mm-hmm.
The accountability, because this is not your resource. This is not your money. This is our money, our country.
Mm-hmm.
You should be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting, actually. If you watch only the government level, like you would say, oh, Haiti is bad. Haiti has some efforts. But even inside the government, don't see a government as being only one block. See it as a dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have also, you know, not a lot of young people because this is a traditional power government, but you have people that wanted to create and build because we need them also, their experience from the system. Our generation have never had a pause. We have 83 crisis. We have 86 crisis, 90 crisis. So now we not want people, only the government, to bring stability for us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to build our stability. And we want to create our dream. This is the message, actually, that my generation, you know, want to spread to whole Haitian community.
Mm-hmm.
We are strong enough. We are more connected than ever. And the Haiti that we want, we're going to create it. And we started to create it.
So that brings me to the question to Luaino. Because you are grassroots organizer. I mean, that's the heart of what you do.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about how do you do that work in Haiti with all the obstacles that you have?
Yeah, so as Ralph went to say about so we used to have like government where people think, okay, so our government should do, and they didn't. And now we say, okay, how we can do, So right now, so my in my community, for example, in Cité Soleil, so where people start to think, okay, maybe the future of Cité Soleil is us. So how we can actually work together to build our community. So Ralph was touched something about the international people that we have, the diaspora that we have aboard. So which is very, very interesting because we have a very large diaspora and they really love their country, but they don't trust the government. So they're looking for people they can work with in the ground. So now what we are doing is to put ourselves in a way of as a bridge where we can connect our people in Haiti to the diaspora where they can work together. And the Combit Bibliothèque project, the Combit Library, is a really good example of that. Because we have people everywhere
mm-hmm.
who are contributing to build this library. So, and right now we have about 4,000 donors, individual donors. People can give a little bit that they can give. So to build a library, but through that process, what we are seeing is people in Haiti not see themselves as someone or people who are waiting for help,
mm-hmm.
but they are the one who are building the project and they're looking for support, they're looking for ends to build their community. So my work in Haiti, so I actually, where I was grew up in Cité Soleil, it's a mm-hmm. very fragile community.
Mm-hmm.
Very, the violence is very high over there because our young people, they don't have good education, not because they don't want it, because there's no way to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no job. And we have, let's say, 80% of our population in Cité Soleil jobless.
What is the industry? Is there industry? Like 80% jobless, well, what are the 20% doing? Like, where do they work?
And that mostly in the informal market where people buy and sell, very tiny percentage work for the government.
Mm-hmm.
And in the private sectors, there's little bit of job. After that, it's 2% in job factories.
Job factories, they provide more jobs. But the informal economy is booming in Haiti because I'm really grateful the way I am today is because of informal economy.
Mm-hmm.
So Haitian community, they're doing great, even if they don't work. If you see like the most Haitians that are well educated, they come from modest families. And modest families, they have to invent life every day. You have to create. You have to be an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
which means that being innovative is something that, you know, lies to Haitian culture.
Mm-hmm.
80% don't work. But if you see how they live every day, the risk that they take, me, Luino, we are in everything. So we come from low-income communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we do good from people that didn't work. My mom worked for 25 years old, you know, in the textile industries. And I remember I went to the best school of Haiti, and whenever I wanted to change the school, she said to me, Ralph, what do you want to do? And which school you prefer to go? But she didn't know that she's going to have like the whole money to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows for real that education is a priority. You know, in Haitian community, they spend most of their money on their education.
Really?
You see people, they don't read, not really read like the ancient generation,
mm-hmm.
but they are willing to spend all they have in education.
Okay.
Because they believe in sustainable way.
Okay.
They think that your biggest currency is your brain.
Oh, okay.
Your biggest currency is your brain. No mm-hmm. matter where you are, no matter how you struggle, if you have that emotional intelligence
mm-hmm.
and you have that capacity to understand what is happening and to solve problems, you will not only survive, but you will do good not for you, but also for the families.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will give back. So the informal economy, this is what we need actually. Haiti is great. People all create and invent life every day. That's the reason when we have an NGO coming, abroad saying that we want to develop in Haiti. I said, let me tell you something. In every family in Haiti, they are creating life. They are inventive enough
mm-hmm.
to make sure that their children get upward mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is not how to develop Haiti. The question is how to take advantage of those resources and innovation mindset from each families, connect them together, and make it happen for all.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenge. It's a community mobilization challenge. And that's why the Uno Bobia project is important. Imagine that you put 400,000 people together to build a library.
Mm-hmm.
Every day they give like one good, they give two goods, they give $1 to the. But also what's important is that they cannot take money from someone who wants not to be, you know, captured in the money. They receive, like, there's a big company which wanted to give them like $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, we want to give that to you, but you don't have to talk about it. And Wino said, no, I cannot. Because for every dollar that you give, you have to take a picture and say, this is the money that you get. And it's accountability and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And what is interesting, remember, Wino, there was someone who wanted to donate like 10 goods to go get that money.
Yeah.
Wino has to spend like 300 goods in gas.
Wow.
And you know what's interesting? They say, we know, why are you doing it? He said, no, this is the opportunity that you will transform someone into a donor.
Mm-hmm.
So now you become a donor.
Okay.
Is the status attached to that?
Okay.
So the process is important. It's not the dreamers building a library. And this community library will become the first, the biggest
mm-hmm.
crowdfunding community in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do you balance community and outside support or outside interference or outside interest?
Yeah, it's really a big challenging because the way that it used to be is the outsiding, the donors, the government, they come to build or they come to say, okay, this is what we want you to do, or this is what we're going to do for you. And now it's the community who design the project.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, it's the outsider, they don't understand. They don't know how to participate because they don't get used to participate like that. So the way that they used to do it is ask the community for their participation in their own project. Now it's the community say, okay, this is what we are doing.
Yeah, this is what we think you need and you have to accept it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a way that to really build confidence, to it's empowerment. It's empower the community
mm-hmm.
how to they are really the driver of their own vehicle. So they have to take care of their community.
Mm-hmm.
As Ralph said, we think that the future, as we say, our economy is very informal, but in some way it's really a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift because I remember I was in Washington. There was a state shutdown state, so there was the public park was closed, and I say, I don't understand that, how a public park closed. They said because you know our state is shut down. So in Haiti we have the population; they actually have control of the country.
Mm-hmm.
If you look Haiti in the state level, you will say, okay, this country is failed. This country is not good. Too much corruption. But if you look the Haiti in the community level, you will see it's really a country they are building from roots.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sustainability, you know. So that's why people like me, like Ralph, so we mostly work with people in the community. Not because we don't work with people in the government, but when you have the government and you have the outsider, the two powers, they are too strong. They are very strong. And it's easy for them to work together. But it's not easy to work to the community because they don't speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And now what we are trying to do is educate the community, make them strong enough where they can work with the outsider and then the government.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the three-way partnership, that's where we're starting to have like a community, a very sustained community. So all our effort right now is to work with the grassroots community
mm-hmm.
everywhere in Haiti. So we are trying to do that. And we can see there is a future. There is a future and a very bright future. But it's very sad too. It's very sad because in this future, through this future, the middle is not clear. There's a lot of violence. Yeah. I see what you're saying. You know, the middle is not clear, but we can see the future.
You can see the future.
Yeah. And the future is not. It's not a far future. It's not a far future.
Mm-hmm. So you believe you're closer to it than you know.
Yeah, it's not a far future. It's not something that we hope for. It's something that we started to build, and we're working hard for it. Actually, if you see, you go with Haiti, we have a huge movement of startups. And I can tell you from five startups before coming here, five startups have been able to provide more than 75 jobs for here. Mm-hmm. Imagine for every five startups, we have two co-founders giving 75 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movement. It's a huge movement in Haiti, actually.
So when you talk like that, you have to pull some people from the outside in.
It's because people are watching too much headlines.
I agree.
If you come in New Haven, actually, I'm in New Haven. Uh-huh. You know, we spend like more than 3 months in New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
The city is wonderful. Every day you have activities. You have, you know, I participated in the Climate Justice Summit.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful to see how the grassroots movements in the community. I visited like a business leadership, leadership academy school here.
Yeah.
So if I didn't come here, I would listen to what is happening in Connecticut. It's too big.
Yeah.
So headlines. The senator did this, the senator said this, the senator said that. It's headlines.
Mm-hmm.
So headlines block us to understand what is the dynamic of a society.
I see what you're saying.
And this is what happening. Actually, I'd like to talk about climate change because this is my specialization. People say, I believe in climate change. I don't believe in climate change. But they don't really understand.
Well, we have a president that doesn't believe in climate change.
It's for me, what's which is important, embarrassing. It's not about like the process of believing
or not.
Or not believing.
I know, right? Climate change is real. It is.
It's how you stay connected to the dynamic of it. Mm-hmm. Because at Yale, this is our challenge, how to communicate science.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you believe in climate change, you cannot convince the citizens from a grassroots level that it is real.
Yeah.
How could you, talk bad on people to say that I don't believe? The matter is not to believe or not to believe. The matter is how to communicate it effectively and to make people understand what is the process behind that and what are the consequences come with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you should look, Haiti.
Yeah.
Look, Haiti, like, to the whole perspective. Look, Haiti, too, is dynamic. Don't just come and say, oh, okay, I saw the news today and there's, like, a lot of demonstrations and, you know, seven people died. You know why it is huge in Haiti? Because we never had that level of people died.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. But if you go, like, to some cities and everything, they say, like, okay, 400 or something. No. It's a very rich, nice country. If you take, like, a kid coming here, they be willing to adapt more than just a kid living here. They will, sell in the streets, do their stuff, and you will be impressed to see how much time they build something abroad.
Mm-hmm.
That's our independence. That's autonomy. Mm-hmm. And that's why Haiti also have difficulty to move forward. It's because that if we believe that if something is bad, we can break it like we did it with the French Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And we strongly believe that we will build it again.
That's a good point.
So what's happening
is that... That's a good way to think about that.
When we see that we didn't build it in 5 years, in 10 years, people say, hey, you stuck, guys. But we still believe, okay, if that's bad, we're going to break it. But we believe that we're going to build it again.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that mindset that when something is bad, we have not only the luxury to break it, when it's a bad system, but we have the responsibility to break it and talk about how we build it.
Okay.
It's not good. It's not bad. Okay. But we have the opportunity to break it and build it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing actually in Haiti. We just realized the Haiti Tech Summit was the biggest tech summit in the whole Caribbean. And the tech summit was piloted by Christine Souffrin. She's a, Forbes 30 under 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was born in the United States. She lived in Haiti at some point. She's Haitian descent, and she's building the whole movement. And actually, she
she brought with her husband the Ghana Tech Summit, like the first tech summit in Ghana, mm-hmm. like African Haitian.
That's very good.
That's exposure, because people see Haiti that they have something to give us. We also have something to offer.
Yeah,
Haiti's laboratory is a laboratory, mm-hmm. and Luino and me actually, we want people to participate in the laboratory, mm-hmm. because we have resources that we can take from you, but also we can offer yeah. you.
And I think that's the piece that's missing in the narrative when people talk about Haiti, that Haitians have something to contribute to their own destiny. Like, it's not about just giving to them. It is about their strengths and talents to build the community and the country that they think is in their best interest.
Haitian has been part of the foundation of United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's amazing. We have you also have our text lines and, you know, building paper of United Nations.
And mm-hmm. it's when people like the what they call the developing country, which is not exist, because every country is developing.
Every country is developing.
So the way that they use, if you talk to them, they say, oh, we invest a lot of money in Haiti in the last 10 or 20 years. But people think that money is the way to help another country. I think Haiti is an example where it's not about the money,
mm-hmm.
and it's more than that. So that's why we say we have hope, because today we can say there's more Haitian who are studying abroad,
mm-hmm.
in like big university. Mm-hmm. Like if Yale we're going to give like $20 million to Haiti. Let me tell you, it's better. We have Ralph here.
Mm-hmm. So he can.
Yeah. Then you
be the representative of sorts.
Exactly. So and you will learn a lot.
Yes.
And you will bring back to Haiti.
Yes.
So today, not because Haiti don't need friends. We need friends. There's no country in the world can go by themselves. So, but we need good investment,
mm-hmm.
like education. So how many people how many Haitian in Yale, how many in Harvard, how many in Princeton, how many in MIT?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have a lot of white Haitian, you know, they're very smart, you know, they need opportunity. This is the kind of opportunity that we need today, where people can invite Haitian
and
study and go back to your country, go back to your community, inspire other people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I think, so we, this generation, we don't ask for money.
Yeah. And we had let me add to that. We had the biggest platform, actually, because, you know, back in the 10 years, when the diaspora, the Haitian diaspora, wanted to invest in Haiti, they said, okay, which channel to go to? How can I, you know, use my resource here from Yale, Princeton, to do something for the country? They don't have that platform, but now they have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you go to Facebook and say, I want to participate in this. Who to meet? You will get the exact person to meet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So which means that the platform that they could not have 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they have it with technology.
Okay.
Technology keeps us like united together. You know, I met with Haitians that I have friends in the United States, like Haitian descent, that I never met. And they gave me like extensive opportunity. I never met them. I didn't have the time being at Yale to go and see them. But we got connected because we said, oh, now, okay, I found that hope through Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found that hope through Luino Obia.
Mm-hmm.
400,000 people is not easy. It's not easy. But the challenge to build a library through that process makes you go really further.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you understand how transparency is important. It makes you understand how participation is important. Because giving access to someone to become a donor is giving him a responsibility. It's giving him a chance to contribute to something bigger. So you go to the library and you're going to write your name on a wall and say, this is the name of, you know, my name. Because I give money on it. I participated. I give a blog. That's life. And you could be like in an industrialized country. See how many suicide that we have. in terms of rate. We don't have that rate of suicide in Haiti, because I can understand why someone has a lot of money and get like a job, go bankruptcy, and say, just, oh, I want to go suicide. Haitian people will say, okay, I made the money. Yeah. I'll leave.
I'll make it again.
I'll make it again. Or if I don't make it again, okay. You know, because we're not so...
I must be Haitian. I'm claiming my Haiti roots. I don't have any, but I believe I have some now.
I'm not so attached in material, you know. Mm. It's a... And the earthquake shows that.
Yeah.
What is happening in the earth actually shows that. We cannot understand that the earth is always shaking. The earth has always been shaken. The climate has changed. The climate is changing. The climate will change. We are a Goldilocks planet. We are lucky. We are an exception. If we understand that, if our now with our material, we are more than others, let's reconsider, you know, our thinking of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just like extraordinary. You're lucky. So being lucky is an advantage. Being lucky makes you grateful. Being lucky makes you understand what matters in life is connection.
Mm-hmm.
You have tons of money. You just walk there, listen to music, but you have no, you know, affectionate support. But someone uses like less money, you know, happy with the children and everything. Just everyday life is easy. We eat via bio and everything, so we live better.
Yeah.
So development for me, it's about well-being, but also psychological safety.
Mm-hmm.
It's connection. It's how you feel that you're valued through the connection with others.
Yeah, and just to support what you say, World Bank went to Haiti and they did a study. They found that the majority of the population live under like $3 a day, and they say this is really poor. But one thing that they didn't know, the majority of our population, they don't need $3 a day. We don't need it. You know, those people, they don't live through money. You know, there's
that's
people gardening, you know, there's the rivers, if the rivers clean, you know. So people's living, they are happy.
Mm-hmm.
But for the other people, you need to have money. If you don't have more than $3, you are poor.
I'm going to come back in Haiti, and I have to make sure that I bring a piece for everyone. It's the culture of solidarity, because you coming, you have to bring something. It's you bring something. You bring this. You bring a souvenir. Mm-hmm. It's the culture of solidarity. You cannot eat alone.
Yes.
You cannot be rich and while you watching other people, you know, dying in hunger. And actually, you think that the world is going better? In 2030, we're gonna have 54 people in dire conditions in poverty,
mm-hmm.
which is that we're not going forward, we're going backward. Like 54% people in 2030 will be poor.
On that note, gentlemen,
what are we doing?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
But I tell you what, I've enjoyed this conversation with y'all.
I hope
you can come back again.
Oh,
I mean, this is a, you know, this is a big conversation for a 45-minute conversation, you know. So but I've really, you've given me a lot to think about, and I think you've given a lot of people listening a way to think about Haiti in a different way. And so thank you so much for your energy and your time and your care. And I want y'all to stay in touch so that you can come back and fill me in on what's happening and all the projects and the library and all of that.
I will send you pictures.
Send
you, you know, this. And when we're going to have like the library live, and I would like to invite you.
I would.
Maybe we can do a live in Haiti.
I would love to.
Maybe we can do a live in Haiti.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah Lulu, for connecting me to these brothers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ooh.